prompt to grow in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to voice out loud today what a lot of us think about when we look at our lives. And that's, why does it seem that we compete against our own success? In 2 Timothy 2 and 25, it says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, we compete against ourselves all the time. A part of us just seems like no matter how hard we try, it works against us, works against us. Think about this. Just think about this for a minute. We do this physically. We'll do this emotionally. We'll do this in our thoughts and our attitudes. Why is it we all decide we're going to lose weight? We're going to work on our health. And then all of a sudden, seems like day or week after week, month after month, somebody's got a celebration about something, and it always involves food. Human beings crack me up. Somebody's born. Hey, let's have some food. Somebody passes away. Let's have some food. Somebody's going to get married. Let's have some food. You know, I'm going to go on a diet. Let's have some food. No, I'm just kidding. And it's like, man, I just can't get away from it. First day of school, let's go out and eat. Last day of school, let's go out and eat. I mean, it's just all the time. Works against us. And we'll go to these places knowing we're working on our health, and we just got to go by and check out the food. And you, as you go by and check it out, you fill your plate up. Or we get up and we get inspired by a sermon or something or God, or we're like, I am going to work on my mouth this week. And so someone bothers you. Someone irritates you. And then you just got the flapping lips. You just can't help yourself. Blah, 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 blah. Just your lips flaps. Your lips will flap at sonic speeds. Satan has traps set throughout our days, throughout our weeks, throughout our months. And he tries to trip us up. Now, God's people have demonstrated throughout history they can handle a lot of things. Look at all the things in the Bible talks about they've been through. Even in world history, we'll talk about God's people went through a lot of things. But one of the things that seems to really, really just sort of spiritually kneecap us, we're ineffective. And that is when it comes right down to fighting against Satan in ourself, against ourself. He tricks us to fight against ourself. He trips us up there more than anywhere else. He tries to attack the church from the outside. That didn't work. So he tries to attack the church from the inside, and we do this. Here in this scripture I quoted, it talks about, uses the word repentance, which means to change your mind. So what does that teach us? It has something to do with perception. If we need to have the right perception. It makes the difference. How you think about things, how you perceive things, you hear and you see, you experience, it makes a big difference. Because Satan works through your perceptions, which affects your thoughts. Like a person's expression. We don't always think about that. Stop and slow down and think about it. But when you say something to somebody, you'll have a tendency to, first thing you do is look at their expressions. You ever say something funny and you wait for them to have that expression of laughter, and when they don't, you think, okay, the joke didn't go well. Or a kid will do something and look up at the parents to see if there's going to be an expression of being proud of them for something they've done. We all in this country, we use English, but yet we, even though we hear the word, the English word come into our ears, we're trying to see what's behind that. Wait a minute, what do you mean by that? You don't say it, but you think it. What's that supposed to mean? That could be good, that could be bad. And then, or sometimes there's gaps in what we just heard or saw. We're not sure exactly what happened. You know, your brain does not like gaps. And God created us with such a vast brain, and we use it so uselessly. When there is gaps of information, we'll fill that in. And it doesn't have to be correct information. We just got to fill this in. So I want to talk about two things today that really impacts our lives. One is I want to talk about a couple of traps that Satan uses. Now, there's a lot more than what I'm going to share, but for time's sake, I want to use a couple. And then I want to talk about what are some ways that we compete against our success that we try so hard to achieve each day. Now, so what are some traps that Satan sets for us in our life? One of them is feeling smart. We all, at some point, no matter how intelligent we are or we may not be, sometimes we get that feeling that we're smart. But see, the feeling of being smart can cause you to be indifferent to other people's opinions, indifferent to other people's ideas, etc. It can also cause some, now I'm saying this because I may be 53 years old, but I haven't always been 53. I was 16 once, 17 once, 18 once. Young people forget the old people, we got there somehow. We just weren't birthed into being 53 or 60 or whatever old. I do remember being 16, 17. I do totally understand. I remember exactly what I thought and felt about things. I also remember at that time that I was feeling, there's been times, I felt smart at 16. Now, at 53, I know that's not true, but at 16, I didn't know. Or at 20, or 25. Because I learned some things. You might have went to college, or you might have had some little bit of experience at 25. So you feel smart. It can cause you to feel like older people can't relate to you. I thought that old leader person, they can't relate to what I'm going through. They've never been 16. They've never been 18. Age has nothing to do with whether or not a person can relate to you. It's their paradigm that affects whether they can relate to you. You understand what I'm saying? Just because a person is at 80 or 70 or 50, that doesn't mean they can't relate to a six-year-old kid. It's how they think affects whether they can relate to you or not. I didn't know that when I was younger, but I learned it. We have a tendency to think that older people, you know, they just can't relate to me. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what I'm going through. But what I did at 16, and I thought about this, what do I think about when I was 16 and 17 and 20, when I was thinking about people that might be older than me? You know what I would say things like, you know, they can't relate to me, they just can't understand. What I really was saying, I didn't like what they were saying. When they disagree with my opinion, that's actually what I got a problem with. I didn't like it. So what is it when you? So what happens when I was in that age and I didn't like what they were saying or they didn't agree with me? I was actually, I started assuming, you know what, they just can't relate to my ideas. They're just too old. Or maybe an older person is just clumsy. Because see, some things that older people tend to do is we want to hurry up and get, you know, we don't have, you know, it's like, I don't want to talk about something that takes, you know, I can say in just three words. I don't want to tell you a paragraph about it. I just want to get to the point. And sometimes we might be a little clumsy. We come across emotionally indifferent. So when they come across emotionally indifferent, well, you'll see, that's, you know, I thought about 16. Sometimes my dad goes, you know, I just want you to get in the car. I don't want to talk about why we're getting in the car. Just get in the car. We got to hurry up and get there. You know what I mean? Because when you're sometimes younger, you want everything explained to you before you agree to do it. I know we don't like to hear that, but that's the real truth. Well, I need to vote on this. My dad's like, you don't get a vote. Get in the car. You know, and then I always wondered, now I'm older, I say, well, that's why, I don't know why my dad said that. Because getting me into the car, or getting, sometimes that, you know, I don't have that kind of time to explain to you. I'll tell you on the way. Just get in the car. But I thought to myself, my dad just emotionally indifferent to me. He don't care about my feelings. What I should have been considering was, why do they think that way? What they said, why do they think that? That's what I should have been considering. Because the information without experience is not knowledge. Just because you know a lot of things, you may be really smart. You've got a lot of information. You've been to college. But if you don't have the experience, it's incomplete. There are gaps. Because true knowledge is only real when it's completed with experience. Because to observe something, to understand the dynamics of it, but then to go through it, puts it all together into wisdom. That's true knowledge. Experience can only be achieved by time and going through something. Now, especially as a Christian, there's a reason the Bible says to respect people that are older than you, to listen to what they have to say. Proverbs 16:31 says this: the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. I say that because I'm not saying every older person is smart. Even the Bible recognizes not everybody that's old is smart. But we got to be careful as Christians that we don't take the world's perspective as that everybody's lost their mind when they get older. We don't want to hear it. And usually we feel that way generally because we just don't like what they're saying. We have opinions and feelings, and we're younger. We got desires out there, and we want to do certain things. But the older people say, no, wait a minute. There's things that you haven't experienced. There's reasons why you should take your slow down and think about things. In Job 12:12, here's what's written. Wisdom is with the aged. Didn't say with the young. It says with the aged. Person that's older. With length of days comes understanding. Some decisions without wisdom from experience is going to cause you to make mistakes that could be tragic for your life. I'm going to give you an example. 1 Kings 12:8. I don't know if I pronounce this king's name correctly, but he was young. He became king of Israel. I think his name is pronounced Rehoboam. Okay, I ruined that, but it's a really difficult name. Huh? Rehoboam. Let's just call him the king of Israel. He was young. And here's what it said he did. He rejected the advice which the elders had given him, the people that were older, and he consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. Now, as you read that story, what happened by doing that? He lost 3/4 of his kingdom. They quit following him, rejected his leadership, because he didn't listen to those who had more experience. They were trying to tell him. See, experienced people, we understand. I didn't forget what it feels like to be 16, 17, 18. I remember. But now I understand there's certain decisions that you might want to make, but will cause problems, so we should listen. What else? What other thing traps that Satan has for us? Well, desires in 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also young desires. Just read it. Flee also young desires, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, which is love, peace with them that call on the Lord of a pure heart. See, Christians should not be controlled by the desires, whether they are good or whether they are bad. I'll give you an example. Now, we all could probably imagine on our own bad desires. But do you know that wanting a desire to have a good relationship, isn't that a good desire? But if it's not under your control, you know what it can cause you to do? It can cause you to put pressure on the other person in that relationship to make that happen. Like, I'm going to make sure my husband's a good husband. I'm going to make sure that my wife is a good wife. I'm going to make sure my kid is a righteous kid, and we'll put pressure on them. So just because something is a good doesn't mean that it's going to turn out the way you should, because a Christian you got to pull, you rein it all back into what the scripture says how you should. God can help you overcome your desires that drive you to do wrong if we will make we don't make provision for our fallen nature. In Romans 13 and 14, because see, as you're turning to that, a Christian, we must base all of our decisions in the truth that you find in God's word. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. That's all that fallen nature side of us, to fulfill the desires thereof. So don't feed your fallen nature by entertaining wrong thoughts or good thoughts or just the wrong timing. See, I think Satan trips Christians in that more than anything else. Well, there's all kinds of examples. One example is super easy, and if it applies to you, you know, hey, I didn't necessarily think of you. It just happens. But let's say you want a spouse. When I was younger, I want one right now. A lot of young people do. Okay. But what if it's not the right timing for you or maybe for the person God has in mind for you? Like, we all got these imaginations and dreams of who this person should be or not be in our life as a spouse. But what if they were the biggest jerk you ever met? So God's trying to help them not to be the biggest jerk. Or maybe she's a witch, and God's trying to get the cleanser of that before he gives her, helps her, brings her into your life. And you're like, no, God, I want her right now. And God goes, okay, if I do, you're not going to like her. But hey, that's what you want. We'll give it to you. Then oftentimes you get married, and you're like, Lord, I wish I would have let you have a little more time. Or it could be a career, or here's something I think also trips us Christians up in, and that is, God, you know what you kind of got a good idea of what your calling is. Maybe it's a speaker, an orator, maybe it's a guitarist, maybe it's a band, and so you're trying to do everything you can to bring that about right now. I'm going to go on Third Thursday. No one else out there probably knows what that is, but that's a thing we do here in Hutch. So you're going to go out there every single Third Thursday, and you're going to play and play and play until you become popular. But what if there's things in your life that if you did become famous, you would fall and have a tragedy of an ending of a life? And God's trying to cleanse you of that. You're not ready. You're not ready to take on the pressures that might come upon that, having that. So we want God to hurry up and give her a calling, but what if you can't handle it? What if you're not ready for it? Some things that God calls people to do, there's going to be a lot of pressure behind it. And for you to be successful, you need to be prepared emotionally, mentally, experience. And you're getting ahead of yourself because you want to hurry up and do it now. So there's some things that God, that Satan trips us up in as Christians. So think about that. Now, I did mention that another thing I want to talk about is there are some ways that we compete against our own success that we would like to achieve in our lives, whatever that is. What are some things that we do? Well, confession, things that come out of your mouth toward yourself or others. See, when you talk about what you talk about, either strengthens you or it pulls you down. Feed your spirit or it feeds your fallen nature. Like, for example, you're under a lot of pressure. You're going through some things. Things are happening. You'll say things to yourself like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. I just don't know. Or we say, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know. You know, I see others succeeding, not succeeding, so I don't know if I can. Do you know that not only do you hurt yourself when you voice those things, you also hurt somebody's listening to you? Because, you know, we're pretty careless with what comes out of our mouth. We voice things. I just don't know if I can do that. When the Bible says you can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you, says he can hold you up, says he can help you go through anything, says he's given us a way to escape pressure so we can handle it. So what I'm confessing is untrue. Proverbs 18:21, it talks about this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Matthew 12:36-37. Matthew 12:36-37 says, "But I say unto you, that every idle word," that means useless word, "that men or women speak, they shall give account of it thereof in the day of judgment. For thy words thou shalt be justified, or by thy words you shall be condemned." We just say things out of emotions or frustrations. But we confess things that tear us down, doesn't strengthen us, doesn't lift us up, doesn't build us. And if someone hears you say it, you're pulling them down too. Think about that. I remember when I was younger and I heard a leader say, "I just don't know if this ministry is going to be successful or this or that." You know, that just broke me. I was like, man, if they're worried about it, what about me? See, that leader didn't know they were tearing me down too, creating doubt within me. We got to be careful what comes out of our mouth. Don't have flapping lips. Because, you know, I worry about my brothers and sisters out there in the world that don't just go to our church, but they're out there in the world, and they just let things fly out of their mouth. When God says, "You will give account someday," I worry about it because I've had flapping lips. Say all kinds of things, this, that, joked around, just said my opinion when I felt like it, and did this and that. And God, then I read this scripture. God says, "You know, Joe, someday you're going to have to answer to me about what came out of your mouth face to face." That's kind of scary because I thought, man, I said a lot of stupid things. What else? Exposing yourself to things that stimulate your fallen nature. Now, this doesn't have to be evil. It can be anything that does not support the goals that God has for you in the now or in the future. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Think about that. Marsha talked a little bit about this earlier. It's like, what are you doing with your thoughts? What are you entertaining? What are you doing throughout your day? Are you doing things that's going to strengthen your spirit, encourage you to think right, encourage you to do right? Or are you just doing useless things that don't have any meaning in your life? They're fruitless. You don't live very long. Even if you live to be 100, that's only 100 rotations around the sun, then you're done. You graduate, either with honor or dishonor, into your next life. There's not a lot of time. We need to stop and think about these things. What are you exposing yourself to? How about self-condemnation? Attacking your intent. Exploring who you are. Are you good? Are you bad? Christians, we need to stop a minute. Have you ever just made so many mistakes? You're just like, oh, man, what is wrong with me? Hey, you have a will. We're not walking around captured in our will. We can decide who we are, and that should be based on truth from God's word. It tells us who we are, what we can be. That's what you need to decide. Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. Let's read this carefully. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ." Now there's a catch. It's not just those who are in Christ, but it says, "who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You get that? It's not just that you're saved and Christ is in you. It's also how you live your life. It's what you think about. It's what you entertain. It's what you apply, what you don't apply, the way you live. Then there's no condemnation. In other words, if you're making an effort to learn, you're staying on the journey, you're letting God teach you, you're learning how to have the right attitude, you're confronting yourself, you're self-examining, you're going through these things, then there's no condemnation. It's not just being in Christ. It's how you live. What else? Allowing yourself to feel inadequate. Yes, I say that because as a Christian, you don't have to feel inadequate. Don't allow this lie to persist in your thoughts. In Christ, you can achieve anything that God has for you. Philippians 4:13 says what I quoted earlier. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You start getting that feeling that come upon you when you make a mistake or you just don't know, you know, you get that feeling of inadequacy. You need to remind yourself of truth. Say, no, wait a minute. Doesn't matter how I feel. The truth is, as long as Christ is in me, I can do this. I can handle this. I can go through this. I don't know how, but God will teach me. I can trust God to teach me. And it doesn't matter how dumb I am because he'll find a way to teach me to be smart, to learn. I can be okay. He'll figure it out. He's smarter than me. In yourself, of course, we can't do it, but it says in Christ we can do all things. It says through him. So you don't have to worry about whether you're smart or not, or you got flaws, or you got problems. None of those things matter. He didn't say if you're already okay. He says it doesn't matter where you come or where you're at. I'll get you where you need to be. Now, what's one last thing I'd like to bring up? Allowing yourself to feel unworthy. I'm saying this because as a Christian, you don't have to feel unworthy. So if you do, you're allowing it. Stop expecting things to go wrong in your life. And I had to talk to myself about this. Because I always thought I had that, what they call that, the Murphy's Law, where everything goes wrong is going to go wrong. I used to think that, that's me. If it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong. Because that's what I felt emotionally. So I need to stop expecting things to go wrong. And I need to stop comparing myself. You need to stop comparing yourself to the end of your journey. You're not there yet. Of course you aren't perfect. Of course, you're not where you would like to be, but you're on your way. You're right where you need to be. Or I should say, you're right where you are. That's okay. Christ will get you where he wants you to be, as long as you're willing to let him. Be thankful for where you are at right now, where you've come from. Stop and catch yourself in those moments and say, yes, I'm not where I'd like to be. Because, see, we get so, we get so emotionally rocked when we find out we're not where we should, where we wanted, thought we were. Or we're not where we wanted to be. I'm much further behind or much further away or whatever. Whatever it is you express to yourself, you realize you're just not the person, as you're not as spiritual as you thought you were. Don't be afraid of that. Be excited about it, because if you ever want to be the spiritual person you think you should have been, you've got to start somewhere. And you can't start something if you don't know where to start. So if you need to find out, where am I at right now so I can get to where I want to be? Be okay with that. Search the scriptures. We need to search the scriptures to use them against evil thoughts. Most of the time, the word evil is useless thoughts, unworthy thoughts. Anything outside of Christ is unworthy, is useless. But we need to search the scriptures and use those against those evil thoughts. It's amazing to me how many people do not use the word of God in battle. When you've got these thoughts in your mind, you can't help what pops in your head. But you can't help what you entertain. But in the middle of battle, we don't pull out the Word of God. Now, maybe you don't know what the Word of God is. Well, why don't you? Open it up and read it. Ask some questions, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 through 14. He tells you to watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. So this tells me I got something to do with this. Because Paul's telling you, you watch, you stand in the faith, and be brave, be strong. If you don't have the strength you wish you had, God will get you there. You know? If you can only bench press 80 pounds, but you like to bench 300, well, you know, it's not very wise to grab the 300 and throw it on there and try it. You work your way up to the 300. You got to start somewhere. Amen? So I leave you with this. God can help you overcome if you don't make provision for your fallen nature to be strong. What you talk about does matter to you and to others. Expose yourself to truth. Don't attack your intent. And don't allow yourself to feel inadequate nor unworthy, because you are a child of God. He's got this. Thank you for being with us. We hope to see you next week at 11 a.m. here at Life in Christ Transformation Church. God bless you.